Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several months back, a person approached me and said, "I don't believe that people should work on Sunday." "I'll bet you never work on Sunday." I didn't even know how to respond to that one. We've heard that from the time that we were small, haven't we? That we are to keep holy the Sabbath day. And what does that mean? What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? We think about it as, well, we come to church, we spend an hour of our busy week in church, that seems to be good. Well, maybe we take a break from work. And we wonder at stories like the ones that we have in Gospel today, where Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field and they pluck some grains and toss them into their mouths, whether it's because they're bored and not even noticing it or because they're hungry. Why is this such a problem? And why is it such a problem for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath? Well, it's because there's a need to answer the question of how do we keep holy the Sabbath day. And one way that we can define that is by making rules about it. I was looking this up. As my husband said, "You went down a rabbit hole, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, it's because I found out that there are 39 categories of work in which one should not be engaged on the Sabbath, at least according to the Pharisees of the time and according to some of the strictest Jewish sects. Those categories of work are things like field work, sowing, plowing, reaping, gathering and binding, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, and baking. Some of them involving making things, so shearing wool, cleaning, combing, dyeing, spinning, stretching threads, making loops, weaving threads, separating threads, tying a knot, untying a knot, sewing, tearing. And some involve the making of leather curtains." These are really dealing with the things that were used to create the temple. So leather curtains were made for the temple. So that means that you can't trap, slaughter, skin, tan hide, smooth, rule lines, or cut. You also can't write or erase or build or demolish or extinguish a fire, kindle a fire, strike the final hammer blow, meaning you can't finish anything, and you can't carry outside of your house. And I look at these and realize that those sound like really broad categories, and they are. And then you have to define them further so that if you have anything in your pocket, men, do you have anything in your pockets right now? Do you have your keys? Do you have some coins? Well, you just violated one of these rules that prohibits you from carrying anything outside your house. Did you turn on a light? I think of all the things that I've done just this morning that have violated one of these rules. I've turned on lights. I drove my car, which is making fire. I think I touched my knitting. That's a violation too. Over and over and over, I think of all the little things that I've done that have violated these Sabbath regulations. You know, they even include things like climbing trees. And I had to look up to see if it was lawful for me to walk my dog. It turns out it's lawful to walk the dog as long as the leash doesn't drag and as long as I don't have to pull it. If you know my dog, this means maybe I shouldn't be walking my dog. Come on, bet it. Because I'm doing work and I'm making him work. And I think if I had been raised with all of these laws, maybe by this time of my life they wouldn't seem burdensome. And there are people who write in asking, how do we keep these rules? That keeping Sabbath is just so difficult for me. How do I keep these? And the answer is always, these are not meant to be burdens. They are meant to set the Sabbath apart. They are meant to set the people apart as well. And I'm thinking, but these sound really burdensome to me. They go against everything that our society tells us to do, and in some ways that's the point. Is it in honoring the Sabbath, what we're doing is setting the time apart, setting ourselves as people apart. And I'm not saying that we need to follow all these rules because we are not under this old law. But we need to understand why it comes up in the Gospels, why this is so difficult for these people. We're told in our first lesson that we need to rest on the Sabbath because, why? Do you remember why? This is when I should have had the children's sermon, right? And I would have asked them all these questions. There are actually two reasons that are given in Scripture, depending on which passage you look at. One that says, because God created the world in 6 days and then rested. And then today's passage, which says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. Do slaves get a day off? Not usually. So it's a reminder that you don't have to work that hard. You don't have to be the way that you were in Egypt as a slave. This is a day to be set apart. And Jesus seems to challenge some of these rules and regulations by doing what he does as they go along plucking grains, which seems like such a trivial thing. And it's such an important thing to the Pharisees because they want you to abide by the letter of the law. Jesus reminds them of an instance when David, who is fleeing from somebody who's trying to kill him, is starving and goes and asks to eat the bread of the presence, which is only allowed to the priests. And because he's hungry, because he's about to starve to death, his need for food overrides the law. And he's saying, if you're starving to death, then your need overrides this rule against plucking grains. And the question arises about healing. We notice that Jesus seems to like to heal on the Sabbath day. And healing is prohibited. Now, there is an instance when you are allowed to heal on the Sabbath day, according to these rules and regulations, and that is when the person's life is in danger. In an emergency situation, healing is permitted. Is this man with a withered hand in an emergency situation? Is he going to die if his hand is not healed this day? This is how the Pharisees are looking at it. And they're watching Jesus to see if he's going to heal this man. They may have just chosen this man, brought him in there, and waited to see what Jesus is going to do when he sees this man's situation. And they know this man is not going to die if he's not healed that day. And Jesus looks at them and says, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? Is it lawful to heal or to kill? And they don't answer because they know that they are the ones being trapped. And he asks this man to reach out his hand, and the hand is healed. Does this man need to be healed on this day? Not according to Pharisaic law, he doesn't. It could have waited until the next day. But why should this man wait even one more hour to be healed when Jesus can heal him? And that's how Jesus looks at it. Why should this man wait for healing until it's lawful for him to be healed? Is not the Sabbath a day of restoration? Is it not a day when our spirits are to be healed? Is it not the perfect day for healing? And that's how Jesus sees it. He looks beyond all the man-made rules to what the Sabbath is really all about. Restoration, rest, healing. Think of how the life of this man changes. That now he can work. That now he's restored to relationship. He's restored to community. His life changes. Why should he have had to wait even one more moment for that sort of restoration? Jesus says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And he shows himself as Lord by how he treats the Sabbath. And he does things that show that the Sabbath is a day that is set aside, but is a day when Jesus can do things like restore and heal. It is a day when we can do things too. It is a day when we can restore relationship. It is a day when we can heal. I think the Sabbath is a perfect day to pick up the telephone, which is a violation of one of these rules, and call someone with whom you have an argument and restore a relationship. It is a perfect time to gather people together and have fellowship with them and bind together relationships. It is a perfect day to set aside all of these rules and regulations and look at what the Sabbath is really for. A day to acknowledge that God is Lord of the Sabbath. And man-made rules and regulations that keep us from having the relationship we should with God and one another perhaps should be looked at once again. Healing and restoration. Isn't that what Jesus' ministry was all about?